Good evening. This is the November 3rd Personnel Committee of the PNB. We are starting at 5:40 p.m. Could we have the roll call, Julie?
I'll go ahead and give it.
Okay.
Minerva Sanders. Julie Hewitt.
I'm here.
Kaja Brown.
Here.
Fred Dodsworth.
Here, thank you.
Avelia Jones. She requested an excused absence. Marianne Martinez. She requested an excused absence. Dennis Williams.
I'm here.
Sally Gellert.
Here.
Susan Young. Here. All right. We're ready to continue with the agenda.
All right. The election results have come to everybody's mailbox, so it comes as no surprise that to announce that the election results are the chair will be Susan Young, and the secretary will be me, Darlene Pagano. And so at this point, I turn the chairing of this meeting over to Susan Young.
Great. And it was a tough competition, each of us running against ourselves. Approve prior meeting minutes, job description, evaluation. Am I in the right place? Yes.
Yes, you are.
850, job description, evaluation questionnaire timeline. Darlene, 9:15, Google instrument. Julie, 9:35, schedule next meeting. 9:40, adjourn. Is there any objection to the agenda as read?
Can we adjust it 10 minutes back, Susan, just to match reality?
Okay, everything is a plus 10 minutes because we started 10 minutes late.
Thank you.
Approved prior meeting minutes, a combination of Sally and I put those together, and they were sent out by Darlene. Are there any corrections to the minutes that were distributed?
I appreciate so much, Susan, you and
Recording
Sally.
Recording in progress.
You and Sally, putting them together immediately.
We worked very hard at it, so I'm delighted. Okay, let me just for the record, because we didn't start the recording right away. We started at 8:40 Eastern Standard Time. The attendees, there are Minerva Sanders, Julie Hewitt, Kaja Brown, Fred Dodsworth, Dennis Williams, Sally Gellert, Susan Young. Absent with excused absences are Avelia Jones and Marianne Martinez. And we have approved the agenda as read. And we now have, there are no corrections to the meeting minutes that were previously distributed. Now on to job description, evaluation questionnaire, and timeline. Darlene.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, there are two, items that are attached there. And, I'm going to address the one that says, that it's the tally sheet, the response sheet. This is only a slight improvement from the sheet we've been using for the last 2 years to record responses. Sorry. And Julie Hewitt, wonderful worker that she is, has come up with a version on Google Forms that does some of the mathematics that we do after all of the answers come in. And so we're going to go over this one so everybody understands how the responses will go. But in the next 36, 48 hours, you're going to get Julie's version on a Google Forms. And that will be the one that you actually fill out.
So, question, Darlene.
Yeah.
The tally that you're going to show, is that essentially the questions that track to the job description?
Yes. You'll see on the left-hand column item number, there are 30. And we're now going to go to the job description, and you'll see that that is broken out into 30 actions, activities, responsibilities of the executive director, and that comes directly from job requirements, responsibilities of the ED as laid out in the 2021 bylaws, and has been used since 2021 for the purposes of a performance review. Now, the 2025 bylaws came in, and there are a couple of different or additional, actually, items that are assigned to the executive director, but we didn't use that. We didn't change that job description in 2025. That is happening now, but during and after this performance review. So the executive director can't be held to those particular responsibilities for 2025. And it's this year, 2025, that we are evaluating her work. So that is the story of why there's 30, and there'll be a different number going forward. Okay, let me go to the, Susan, do you have the job description open?
No.
Pardon?
No.
Okay, response sheet. I beg your pardon. I do not have. Julie, are you able to rescue me here and share the job description?
It'll take me a minute if you can keep talking for a second.
During that minute, let me just give a quick recap of some of the things that Darlene was addressing. Stephanie was selected to be the ED in 2021, and her employment agreement at that time and the job description were decided at that time and were approved by the PNB at that time. She started working in 2022, and so it was under the bylaws, the job description, the employment agreement and so forth that were put in place in 2021, and those have applied all the way through the evaluation we're doing this year. Part of what I propose that we do after we launch the evaluation for 2025 is that we review the employment agreement, the job description, to see if there are changes we think should be made, and whether there are changes that should be required under the 2025 bylaws. The differences between the 2020s and the 2025s as far as the ED's responsibilities go are relatively minor. There no longer is the back and forth with LSBs about hiring and firing GMs and PDs. I've also asked our attorney to take a look at this employment agreement. He's a new attorney now working with us. He has a different perspective, and the board has a different perspective from how the employment agreement was crafted in 2021. So this is an appropriate time to look at all of that because we're getting through this process and because we've got new bylaws in place. Julie, how far are you?
I've got it more or less open here. You want me to share now?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead? So this job description is the one that has been in place basically since 2021. She has been evaluated according to that over 2022, 23, 24, and this year again. And this job description is what the, survey, the employment, the evaluation questionnaire is based on, ties to. Okay. Darlene, you ready to take up on that?
Right. Now this went out only about 5 or 6 hours ago. I could be mistaken. I've been sending so much out for so many different, purposes. It starts out above where Julie highlighted with, a description of where the ED stands in the structure of the Pacifica Foundation. And then it gets to what Julie has highlighted, the duties and responsibilities. I just want everybody to know I'm not looking at the at the copy on the screen. It's too little for me, so I'm looking at it on a Google Doc. And
sorry, I just screwed it up.
That's okay. Okay. Everybody has a copy if they'd like to open it. How do we want to handle this? It's a lot to go through 30 things, but we could talk about the,
why don't we talk
areas.
About the general categories?
Okay. As people may know or remember, the executive director is the chief executive officer and the president of the Pacifica Foundation. That position handles all of management and operations of the foundation. What it doesn't handle is governance, but everything else, everything that makes the foundation go is under the responsibility of the executive director. So, under duties and responsibilities, there is the general administration, which is largely all of the record keeping, all of the fundraising that is done above and beyond what the stations do with the fund drives. We now have a grand total of 12 folks who report directly to her, those predominant among those are the general managers of the stations, along with the engineering technical department and the teeny tiny office staff, which is like 1 1/4 positions.
And affiliates. And affiliates.
Excuse me. And the affiliates. Okay. So the general managers and the affiliate director. And all of the recruiting, outreach, hiring, managing, disciplining, correcting, firing of general managers is in her purview, and she also will be doing annual evaluations of all the folks that are considered national staff, and those are all the people or positions that I just described, so that she does annual reviews just like we're doing an annual review for her. Now, it says in here governance, and I just said she has naught to do with governance, but we are her, the governance, the PMB is the supervisory body for the general, the executive director, and she reports to, the PMB. So in this governance section, it's just lays out her responsibility to attend PMB meetings, however they are held, as well as numerous other meetings often it's the National Finance Committee. It is occasionally the Audit Committee. And so she goes to a lot of meetings because she's building the relationship and answering all the questions of folks who are in management. Let's see, communications, largely that is keeping in touch in writing with the PNB. Human resources, she gets some help with that, but for she is the final, the buck stops here on issues of following all of the different requirements, state, local, and federal that that impact people's employment with the Pacifica Foundation. And she also is the person that works on union collective bargaining. Finances. Okay, we do not have a chief financial officer and have not had for many, many years. We have a
business. Since 2022.
Thank you. But we do have a national business officer, Markeisha Van Zandt, and Stephanie works very closely with Markeisha because all the information about the health and welfare of the foundation in terms of revenue and financial obligations goes through there.
Marlene, let me just insert something real quickly. This job description was written when, and Stephanie was hired when, we had an entire administrative capability provided under contract by NEDA. And they had, they would have like at least four people working on the audit. They had an HR department. They handled all of the financial inputting. So when they stopped working with us July 1, 2022 for basically non-payment. And at that time, a staff of about 20 left us. And so Stephanie, these responsibilities were listed at a time that there was an administrative framework that no longer exists. So that's one of the things we need to keep in mind with all these evaluations. Sorry, Darlene, for interrupting.
No, thank you very much. Thank you. Stephanie, in the job description that she started under, or the employment contract that she started under, was given no responsibility or prerogative for programming. But still programming is here because, as I said, she's the president of the foundation. Anything that needs answering to, goes to her. So she has to, be aware of and be in contact with, the general managers and the programmers about what they're putting out over the air. But she, up until now, at least, has had no authority to make any changes either in the position of programmer or the programming itself. But again, she's ultimately responsible at the same time.
Darlene, if I could insert here, this is a very good, the FCC compliance is a very good example where that was, you know, a national regulatory requirement placed on us that we were not set up at any of the stations to be able to handle appropriately.
Yes.
And so Stephanie and our compliance officer worked with, and she had to enforce at all of the stations that management was actively moving forward and not disputing and not undercutting our ability to implement all those FCC requirements, or we would have had a larger fine than was paid, and we and our licenses would have been in jeopardy.
Go, Susan. Okay. And then she's also responsible with all of our tech folks on keeping up the technical capacity of Pacifica. Also, as we go through things, both on her job description, and also I think it comes up in the employment contract of past years, the CPB, Corporation for Public Broadcasting, is referenced. And, well, shouldn't have to deal with that anymore. None of us will, because it is no more. It was doged out of existence. Let's see, technical. She also is responsible for our affiliate relations. The affiliate network is over 300, grassroots, nonprofit, community, however you want to describe it, radio stations, that are themselves, an energetically working network, and they have a relationship now with Pacifica, for content, for their stations.
So may I, hold on just a minute, Darlene. Kaja's got his hand up. Kaja.
Go ahead.
Hi. Well, I realize this, we're just reviewing what she was being held to in the past.
It's not in the past. It's current, her current employment agreement.
No, I understand. I'm just, making a suggestion for maybe how we could improve this before I forget the thought. That's all. I think some of this should stay in there, but perhaps it could be called something like FCC compliance and, I mean, you could maybe keep programming in there. I know that will ruffle some feathers, but I think FCC compliance definitely, and maybe fundraising something or another. And even though CPB is technically dead, I don't think that you need to necessarily write that out. I mean, obviously you have to write out CPB because it doesn't exist, but maybe have something that says, any type of national or grant funding resource post CPB or something. I'm just throwing out thoughts. We can make sense of that.
Yes, Hacha, can I also let you know that there is going to be, there needs to be efforts to reconcile the job description, for the differences between two sets of, bylaws, and that reconciliation process could probably really use you.
Yeah, okay. And Hacha, we need this careful review of the whole dang thing, okay? And that's going to be a task after the survey is issued.
Okay, and I'm just bringing that last part up because in my role with my station, my understanding is there's some work being done to try to replace some of that funding through other resources. So,
and that's happening with NPR all over the place, and we've seen it. Yes, it's good to know.
All right. Legal, well, that... it means working with the lawyer and being able to afford to keep a lawyer. And I don't think I would need to go any further than that. And also using legal services to make sure that all of our policies and procedures are within the bureaucratic limitations, strictures that we should be keeping up with. Promotion, last thing, making the Pacifica Foundation and our six entities that are part of the Pacifica Foundation, five of which are owned stations. In local areas, people know what they're radical, at least very liberal, local station is, their news and music. Just expanding public awareness that there is a network. When you support your local station, you're supporting, in fact, five stations around the country. So those, as you see, they're all numbered as we go down the paragraphs. That is the 30-point review that we've been talking about as we get into all of this, the personnel committee. And in each one of those points turns into an area that each of the reviewers will be reflecting on and answering. Well, first of all, they will answer whether or not they have any workings with the general manager on that, any of those particular responsibilities. And if they do, then they will fill out their understanding, their evaluation of the performance of the executive director. There will be 32 folks who will be filling out these forms. We have 32 reviewers, 20 PNB directors, and 12 management and operations staff. So 32 folks will be reporting on 30 aspects of the executive director's job, and it will be the personnel committee's responsibility to collate and make sense of all of those numbers of replies and come up with a system-wide evaluation of the executive director. Now, we've pulled that off for a couple of years, and as I said, Julie is going to come up with, or has come up with, a Google form that's going to automate our responses to this even better than we have been able to do in the past. So,
Darlene, we've got a hand up from Dennis, and let me just really emphasize, there will be the staff and director questionnaires will go out in separate batches. At the start of each question, each person will be asked, the first question is, do you know something about this? If you don't, you do NA. Then you fill out, and it's numeric, there are numeric answers and narrative answers that you can provide. And all of that will be collated not by us, but by a Google instrument. First of all, Dennis, what's your question?
Three quick questions. First is this sort of 360 survey system, is this consistent with the way that the ED has been evaluated the last couple of years?
It is a 360 structure, 360 evaluation. And as long as I've been doing it, which is, this is the third year, that is the structure that we are using. And it also allows you to do a little bit of comparison year to year that way.
Yep. Good. Second is not so much a question as an observation. It seems to me there's likely you explained the process, Susan, but I can see that there could be a lot of NAs in the surveys, and that's okay, right?
NAs do not count against the cumulative evaluation.
And just, do you have an idea? What is the report? I mean, is there a, like a numerical value assigned to like strongly agree?
Yes.
Is it percentages? How does it?
And Julie will go through that as going through the Google form.
Okay.
And let me just comment one other thing. What the personnel committee has done in the past is received all these results. It's chewed on them. It's made recommendations about Stephanie's continuing employment, whether there should be an extension. There would theoretically be if there were, you know, if there were arguments against, and a narrative about, sort of the things done well, the things that, need to be addressed. So, Julie, can you go on with the, Google form?
Sure. So one of the things, you know, and Darlene, I think, explained this the last time we met, that what she has done in the past is there was a code system so that each respondent knew their code and only their code and responded to the survey instrument. But even though Darlene didn't store it on a computer anywhere and it wasn't public, nonetheless, you know, there was some concerns that some people were worried that, well, Darlene knows the codes, and so Darlene would know who said what. And so, what I did was digging into, you know, seeing if we could use Google Forms to basically do the same kind of survey instrument that we've done the last couple of years, but to make it fully anonymous, right? And so, so what I'm about to show you isn't exactly like what Darlene emailed out to everybody, in part because I didn't have the questions in front of me because I'm an idiot and I was looking for a Word file and it was a spreadsheet, so I didn't find it. So I couldn't mimic what Darlene had done in the past, other than I knew what the question formats or you know, the 30 points were because she'd sent that out by email to all of us already. So I'm going to show you this, as soon as I hit share and share again. I'm going to show you what the survey instrument looks like, in this test Google form, and I'm going to fix it to make it match the survey instrument. But this is the way that it's going to be, fully anonymous. So, you know, up at the top, there'll be a little bit of instructions. And then the first question is basically make up a secret code. This is the kind of thing that, you know, when we have had, tellers who've run elections in the past, this is the same kind of, approach that they take. You know, each person makes up a little code that they know. Right. And then you type it in and that's the first question there. And that's a required question. And so then, the survey questionnaire will be broken up again into these same kind of, I think it's seven different areas that Darlene, you know, went through in terms of the 30. And so, you know, the first section will be general administration. At the moment, I was just playing around testing with, so for those of you who can see my screen, I was just playing around with the different sort of question formats that were in Google Form. And so, you know, there's a possibility of giving a long answer response. There's the possibility of giving, checkbox responses. And the thing about the checkbox is you can only check, I'm sorry, I'm in developer mode, so I can't pretend I'm answering the survey at the moment, but you can check one and only one of these boxes, right? Sorry, let me get out of the, okay. You know, and so that's the place where I will change I will change it. So the first one is NA, you know, I don't know, or I have no knowledge. And then it'll be the not outstanding, effective, unacceptable, but the words that Darlene had in those column headers. This next question is the same format, but it's done as a Dropbox. I'm not sure there's any particular value to that one. And so on. And so then that's section two. And then section three is governance, you know, and so there were two items there. And so I'm going to go on and on. And so what will happen is at the top, you know, for each one of these, there will be first check one of the boxes, and that will be a required response. And then the next question will be an optional question that's a open text box. And if you have, you know, feedback, positive or negative, but something, you know, hopefully constructive, you know, that's where you can type some stuff in, into those boxes. The thing about, that makes it fully anonymous though, is that what you have to do. Okay, so there's two ways we could go down this path. One is, we don't care who the hell fills this out, so I just create a link, and there's no controls over who fills it out. I would venture to say that's not the approach that we want to take, because then what could happen is, even though, as Darlene laid out, there will be 32 people that were asking to fill it out, somebody could take the link and then forward it on to, you know, some of their friends and then say, hey, fill it out this way. And we would have no way of knowing, because of course it's completely anonymous, right? So the other way to do it is, what you have to do is, you know, enter, your email address, but it does not keep your, like, you have to sign in. So that it knows, oh, because we'll send an email to the people who are supposed to be filling out the survey. So we'll have email addresses. And so you have to put your email address in so that it's like, oh, Hewitt.well, I'm not going to say my email over the, well, everybody knows at any rate. But the point is, you know, you put your email address in and it says, bingo, Julie, you're supposed to fill this out. Go forth and prosper. If somebody were to send their, the link around to other people, what would happen is anybody you send your link to, they're just going to clobber your responses. So there's only one survey, filled out per email address. And then the other thing is, I would set it up so that, you would have the ability to edit your survey. So if you, you know, filled it out and then you were thinking, you know, a day or two later and the deadline hadn't passed yet, you were thinking, oh geez, I wished I'd have said X on question 17. You can go back in and you can edit it. And again, you can only do that because you've typed in your email address. But the email addresses are not associated with the data that gets kept. It's just, you know, the Google form, the, you know, kind of in the background. It tracks to say, like, oh, this is a valid email address for someone who's supposed to fill out this form. There is a way to fill it out with, I think, knock on wood, I hope this is the case, that you don't have to have a Google account to do it. If you have a Google account, it'll be a super duper piece of cake to fill out the survey instrument, but you might have to jump through an extra hoop, you know, logging in as a guest, to be able to do it. But that's the price of anonymity, right? It's like you gotta jump through some sort of hoop. And so this seems to be kind of like, you know, the best of all worlds in terms of, we get control over who's allowed to fill out the survey, you know, so that we don't have random people, you know, sending gibberish in, you know, versus, you know, otherwise needing to, you know, not be fully anonymous. So it should be pretty straightforward. And then of course, the other thing is, if anybody runs into trouble, you know, we'll be able to send them the same kind of form like Darlene emailed to everyone. It's just that, you know, if you can't make the Google form work, you know, you can send it to someone and we can fold it in with the overall results. But it won't be, you know, fully 100% anonymous, because if you send it to, just for example, Darlene, you know, Darlene will know who it came from, right? But, you know, the point is, I can sort of show you, this is the survey and we filled out two fake, am I in here? Two fake surveys. It's not showing me the results. I don't.
You just went past there. See that?
Some of the radio buttons.
Here we go. settings, question, summary. This is, oh, I'm sorry. This is what I was looking for. So, here's an example. Here's the out of the, you know, just fake responses that we put into this silly little test just to demonstrate proof of concept. You know, we'll be able to give everybody a list of what all the secret codes that were entered and tracked. So everybody will be able to say, oh yeah, my survey response got tracked. Okay. So that's one thing. And then, you know, Google will, you know, behind the scenes, it will, you know, create a bar chart or a pie chart, depending on exactly how we set the questions up. You know, demonstrating how, people responded to the various survey questions. And then for the ones where, you know, somebody types, it's a open text box and somebody types in an answer, we'll be able to take that feedback and in an unadulterated way, share it, with the executive director. So I'm going to stop sharing my screen and stop talking and see if people have questions.
Sally's got her hand up. Sally.
Will Google be associating those secret codes with the email address?
No, I don't think they will.
Okay.
I think the point of the email address is because the thing that I put, you know, one of the checkboxes when I was doing the, you know, kind of like basic settings on the survey instrument was I said a person is only allowed to fill out one survey. And so Google needs something to be able to say, how do I make sure that, you know, Julie did it once, but not three times, right? And so the point is that's what allows me to also go back and edit my responses. So the fact is in the backdrop, Google will see my survey responses and know that it's my response, but none of us will have any way of backing that out. If that makes sense, right? But
yeah,
but it's like it sits there, but even though I'm setting this up in Google form, I will not have the ability to say, oh, that's Sally's response. Oh, that's Susan's response. I won't even know if Sally or Susan responded.
All I'll
know is how many total responses we got.
If I can insert here, Terry Goodman, who has done the, you know, a lot of our voting for a long time, he has this thing where he prints out where he says, the following people have voted. What he lists is the code only. And so you can see if your code is there and you voted, and we can see the number of people who voted, but you can't see who the voter is. Sally, does that make sense? Jenna.
I guess so. So it's, yeah, a little obscure, but yeah.
Yeah, it's, I don't have absolute clarity, but for your point, Sally, this is, very similar to something that we did in our evaluations at PFW a couple of years ago. And I think the reason that you need this, you know, the codes and the emails is first to make sure that that it's, you know, that it's a real person responding and that it's an authorized person. You know, it's not just some random person, because if it becomes too, you know, theoretically, anybody could get a hold of it and fill out the surveys. So there's, right, you know, there's some sort of compromise things in there like that. In terms of the, you know, the collection and the report out, I feel comfortable with the, I did, you know, when we did it, felt comfortable with the level of anonymity.
I'm glad that you have that experience, because you are able to basically give us an independent validation of this approach makes sense. And did you work with Google Forms?
I believe, yes, we did.
Okay, great.
Susan?
Yes.
I'd like to go back to the timeline, and then sure. There's something else I wanted to say about the NA. Option of an answer. And that Dennis had kind of asked about it before. And whether having people not answer, does it weaken or water down, weaken or water down the responses to that one item? And I believe it's the opposite, because while we got people to fill out the forms in the past 2 years, it sort of became clear in people's discussion about doing this work, that things got filled in that you really didn't know about, but you didn't want to leave everything or so much blank. And in effect, that made for very flabby and not totally believable or reliable answers. And it left the what we would report to the general manager as, you know, not really being a sharp answer that she could work with. So I think it's the opposite, and is why I wanted there to be an NA, not applicable option for each and every section, so that we would get no
flabby answers.
Flabby answers. That's how I put it. So I wanted to bring that back up, and thanks, Dennis, for asking it. So then we're on the timeline of when we get to this. Because we're going to go with Google Forms, and we only really figured out today that Google Forms will give as much, gather as much information as we want, and will give us some of the, behind the scenes, percentages and numbers and all that. It sort of has a little bit of analytics in it. And then, as Julie's been emphasizing, the confidentiality and anonymity. We're not ready to ask you to start on that tonight, as I was going to when we were going to use the Excel sheet. So we have to give Julie a little bit of time, since she is working full-time and probably more, give her a little bit of time to set it all up, because there are 32 answers, and you have two ways to answer each question, bullet or radio button and narrative. So she's got to set up 64 screens or blocks for to get this going. So give her a day and a half. I mean, she thinks she can crank it out fast, and we all agree that she probably can, but let's call it a day and a half. And then I'd like it to come back by November 14th. So we'll have 9 or 10 days to do the response to the Google Forms. And they can really, you can really move fast through them. The reason for that is that's a Friday, November 14th. It gives the weekend and a day or so before the next PNB meeting, excuse me, the next personnel committee meeting to report out. And I would love for us to have that next meeting on the 17th or the 18th of this month. And just to compare, we're really moving fast, even though we started like 2 months late, because the deadline for all of the responses last year was November 4th. So we're going to get underway on November 4th, but I think we have people who are very on this committee who will really help urge on their other directors from their stations to get all these in, and I think that we will, hope that we will. So that is what I was trying to work out about a timeline. So Susan,
we'll be addressing a piece of this under schedule next meeting.
Right, exactly.
And I suggest, I like the idea of having everything back by the 14th and are having a personnel committee meeting on, Monday, the, what is that? 17th. 17th. And so we'll be able to see where we are in terms of results. And I think it would be nice if each of us sent to our own directors and said, have you filled yours out? And that we sort of manage that process rather than trying to understand from the center, because we don't know anybody's names, who all is missing. But if each station's directors can kind of ride herd on yourselves, I think that'd be a very big help. We'll see how divergent the responses are, how many questions that they raise. I've also asked Stephanie, and she will be doing a self-review. I don't know if she'll get it done by then and if we take it up at the same time. So I think if we get things back in hand by the 17th, that puts us in a pretty good place. And then we're going to be turning our attention to looking at the job description and the employment agreement. So Kaja, I've made note of your recommendations. Keep those up, the job description. There are lots of ways in which it doesn't make any sense in my book. So I'd also like to ask Stephanie for replies. One of the things she said, for instance, is the job description requires her to visit all 5 stations each year. Well, guess what? There's no budget for that. So she shouldn't be required to come out of pocket to go to all 5 stations. We used to have in-person board meetings 4 times a year. So anyway, okay. Are there, let me ask about scheduled meeting. Is there any objection to having the next meeting be November 17th, Monday, November 17th?
And when did you say the PNB meeting is?
It's not until, well, we have one this Thursday, and then the next one is in December.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Could it be on a Thursday?
Okay.
Could we instead have the personnel committee meet on a Thursday?
That would be the 20th.
It's easier for me to schedule. A lot of my board meetings just wind up being on Thursdays. And so it's just easier for me to not forget.
I think that the governance committee is meeting on the 20th.
Okay. Well, then that means I'm going to be there anyway.
It could be a week later, but I sort of hate to lose that time.
Well, a week later is Thanksgiving, right? Or is it 2 weeks?
Yeah. Oops.
or do I have? No. Yeah, that's right.
No Thanksgiving.
Excellent. Okay. I've heard that Susan's hosting all of us.
Good luck.
You I don't know. I've heard they can burn in Houston, so.
And in Pacific Palisades, burning wherever I go. Okay.
Or the 18th, if Mondays are a difficult time for anybody, but I'd like us to.
No, if we can't do a Thursday, let's just keep the Monday. That's fine.
18th, maybe NFC. Or audit.
Yeah.
So anyway,
That's so okay. We have no objection to the 17th. I'm sorry, Fred, I spoke over you. I didn't hear you.
It's quite right. I thought the NFC was always on Tuesdays.
It is. She's talking about 18th, which is a Tuesday.
Okay.
So, okay. Are there other items?
No, Susan, we haven't come to a decision on the meeting.
Yeah, we did, the 17th.
Okay, okay. It's what I wanted anyway, so thank you.
Great. All right.
Okay. I bow out. Madam Chair, we are, let's see, we are.
We're early.
No, we're not.
Okay. No, we're just on time. We made up time.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Great. Fred, is there any objection? We are adjourned at 9:35.
Nice.
Thank you all for hard work.